Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
But if Brady went to Los Angeles, Philip Rivers would be available. Let's see if it's Brady or Belichick. Send Tom Brady to Los Angeles, and we'll find out who does better. Brady on a loaded team that somehow can't get it done, or Philip Rivers with Belichick?
You're not stupid, Karen. No, I am actually. I'm failing almost everything.
Bill Belichick runs the Patriots organization. Mr. Kraft, obviously, is the owner. And ultimately, Tom Brady can circumvent or navigate his way around Bill Belichick to make sure that he gets what he wants.
My God, what is that? It's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Did we kind of make a mistake, though, by not acknowledging the fact that no, the NBA didn't level itself off. The Los Angeles Clippers are now the new Warriors, and they are going to dominate the NBA this year, and they'll be the champions, no questions asked.
Do your friends ever have a conversation and you just nod along, even though you're not really sure what they're talking about?
But I think the West is much better now, so that the Warriors, you can't have a repeat of what the Warriors did, because the entirety of that conference just got better.
It's not the changes that matter. It's how you react to the changes.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming out, yeah!
All right, hour two of the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. In about 15 minutes, Lenny Clark will join us. So you get set for a legendary night Saturday, November 16th at the Greenwich Odeum. Visit greenwichodeum.com. It's at 59 Main Street, East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Steve Sweeney will also be there. Steve Sweeney's funny. I've seen him on Nesson. He had one bit that made me laugh out loud about the rosary. That was funny.
He's had some pretty good bits over the years.
You're more of a comedian guy than me.
Comics come home over the years. Okay. He's been very funny. He's an interesting guy.
Lenny Clark's a boss.
I'm just glad we're talking to Lenny and not Steve.
Sure.
Because he's a weirdo.
Okay. So, just if I can, I just want to make one quick point. I forget where we are, where we've been this week on Tom Brady, because it did come out that Tom Brady and Giselle, they bought a house in Greenwich, Connecticut. Speaking of Greenwich, it's a different Greenwich, but Greenwich, Connecticut, they bought a big house. Is Tom Brady going? Is he going to leave, retire, play for another team, all of that? Here's another reason. This is something I thought of this week, that I think that Tom Brady is either going to retire because he doesn't want to play football anymore, he wants to get more time in with his kids throughout the course of the year or whatever, or he'll come back and play for the Patriots. Do you remember 20 years ago at Michigan, maybe a little bit more, when he was there and he was buried on the depth chart and he thought he was better than all the quarterbacks they had?
Stupid Lloyd Carr.
And then when he did win the job, they tried replacing him with Drew Henson until it was clear that Tom Brady was the better quarterback, not the better athlete necessarily, but the better quarterback. But even throughout the course of his time at Michigan, before, when he was buried on the depth chart, when he wasn't getting the looks he wanted, when he thought he could have played, but he wasn't getting the what happened there? What did he do there? I remember one of the documentaries or one of the things we heard. He had to seek psychiatric help, or he went to see somebody at Michigan that dealt with athletes. He went to talk to him, some kind of therapist or somebody.
Sports psychologist
to talk to him about the struggles and the frustrations he was having. Okay, now I'm not Tom Brady, obviously. I know you can get confused.
Sometimes.
Here's the thing I do know of. I played baseball at Bryant University. It's a college baseball program. I did have a situation where I was not playing. I felt like I was better than some of the people that were playing in front of me. Mm-hmm. So I had to. I went into my coach's office one day, and basically put my fist on the table and lobbied for myself and told him to his face that I think I'm better than this guy, and I should play. I should get a shot. So I do sort of know. And it's not Big Ten football. But that was Division II baseball, and it was a serious program, and it meant a lot. So I do know what it feels like in college, playing a sport, to not feel like you're getting the opportunity that you should have. So what that does, because I felt that, it creates a lot of animosity towards the coach. You think, what the hell, guy? Why won't you give me a why don't you give me a shot? Why won't you give me a chance? Why don't you believe in me? Creates a lot of animosity, a lot of negative feelings. So Tom Brady, for sure, had some negative feelings built up for Lloyd Carr, for different coaches on that Michigan staff. He had some negative feelings. And he still didn't leave. He still didn't go back to Cal. He still didn't. He stayed, and he fought, and he eventually won the job, and we all know what happened. So I'm just saying, if he right now, with the Patriots, is feeling some negative feelings, I don't put a whole lot of stock into that. He's dealt with that before. And at Michigan, he wasn't nearly as successful as he was with the Patriots. He barely had any legacy to speak of at Michigan that he'd have to consider if he did leave, went back to Cal. And he's had these good relationships with the people on the Patriots, Belichick, Kraft, for 20 years, 20 plus years, 20 years. Couldn't say the same thing about the coaches at Michigan at the time. He still didn't leave. He still didn't walk away and try to transfer and do what Jalen Hurts is doing right now at Oklahoma. I don't think it's in his DNA. I don't think it's in his DNA to walk away and leave. That's,
you mean and go play for another team?
Go play for another team.
No.
Because of some negative feelings and he didn't like his usage or the contract even. I don't think it's in his DNA. I think there's too much to consider. The legacy, the relationships, everything he's done here, and the situation still. With the defense and everything, McDaniels, Belichick, the structure, I don't think it's in his DNA to walk away, say, F this, I'm going to go see what else is out there. I'm looking for greener pastures in the NFL. I don't think that's in his DNA, judging what happened 20-something years ago at Michigan. Maybe he retires. I'm always open to that.
Sure. I mean, that is absolutely a very real possibility with him. You know, we talked about this last week because Schefter had come out and said, I think it's more likely that he goes to play for another team than any of the other two options next year. And then Schefter started to walk it back because Schefter throws out terrible opinions and then has to walk him back because he's a boob.
Did he start to walk it back?
Yeah. Yeah, well, read the little article he wrote.
Okay.
He starts to walk it back a little bit. Schefter, just stick to reporting on
that's
news because
right.
You're terrible as an opinion
Shaq
person.
Shaq rapping.
It's awful.
Yep.
Just stick to the news. Like, stop trying to become something bigger and better. Wojnarowski, don't go. Stay away from your own stupid podcast because your podcast sucks.
Well, he's not a talker.
Just give me the damn news. Just give me the breaking news.
Woj bombs.
And be that. Be that guy. Stop trying to be something that you're not. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Brady. Him retiring is, I think, a very distinct possibility.
Yes, it is.
And I honestly will put that at the top of the list. I would say him retiring is number one, him staying, playing another year with the Patriots, number two. And then far behind those three is him going to play for another organization, another team. I just can't see him wanting to uproot everything to do it. Him moving to Greenwich means absolutely nothing. If he had moved to LA, it meant absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's about setting up your business for the future. If he wants to grow TB12, where's the best place to be for that? New York City?
Probably.
Yes. The answer is yes. Better than L.A. being in New York City. What's the problem with this? If Giselle wants to get back into some kind of modeling thing, where are you going to do that? Brookline? Brookline, Massachusetts? Or are you going to do that in New York where like every other model lives? They either live in New York or they live in Paris. I don't read anything into where Tom Brady buys a house. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean he's living there and he's going to be commuting. You think Tom Brady doesn't have enough money to rent a house or maybe buy another house here? It just the conclusions these people draw to are insane sometimes. And Schefter is one of the worst examples of it. They're not going to trade four first round. They won't accept four first round picks for Jimmy G.
It's Adam Schefter getting caught swept up in the TV show that he was on, and he wanted to say something. He wanted to try to make good TV, so he got caught up in it, and he went overboard.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
And I think he thinks he's far more important than he actually is and doesn't realize that he gets used as much as he does by these NFL teams. I think he thinks he has this cachet where the general managers or whoever look at him and be like, yeah, you're just a little puppet. You're just going to regurgitate whatever we tell you.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done ripping on Schefter. Tom Brady is not going to play for another organization. Unless something drastic changes here over the next 6 months.
Well, we outlined the scenario where I thought if he got injured and was trying to come back from an injury so he didn't walk into retirement hobbled. You know, yeah. I think that would be a reasonable possibility. And that's so many things that would have to happen for that to come to fruition. I don't think it. I don't think he's playing for another team.
No, I don't think he's playing for another team either. And when the best team you guys can all bring up and saying, here's the option for him is Tennessee, then I think you're all boneheads.
Let me ask you a question.
Why the hell would he go to play in Tennessee for an average team, for an average coach? Why would he do that?
Let me ask you a question.
Does that make any sense to anybody? Why would he go to the Chargers?
L.A., good team, cool. Good roster.
Are they a good team?
Good roster.
They suck right now.
If Josh McDaniels went there,
okay, maybe.
You know, a retirement home situation, I don't know. Hey, let me ask you a question.
I just don't see any of this happening.
Okay. I just want to ask this real quick. Let's say, because his contract's in flux, right? He can't get franchised. He's at the end of his deal at the end of the year. Let's just say, I don't think this happens, but let's just say at the end of the year, he wants money, he wants a number, and the Patriots won't go there. And Robert Kraft says to him, Tom, I just can't get on board with that number. We just can't go there. We're going to have to let you go. Like we can't do it at that number. I'm sorry. I hate this. And they don't sign him. They don't try to sign him because they can't get to the number. At that point, if that happened, does Tom Brady play for another team, in your opinion?
No.
I'm with you, man. No. I'm not sure if that happened.
I think he retires.
I think he might just retire. You could argue, the ultimate slap in the face.
Yep.
We're not doing it, Tom. We can't do it for you. Forget about everything you've done for us. We can't get to that number for you. We're not going to give you the Kobe Bryant, you know, retirement gift contract or whatever he got with the Lakers. We can't do it. We're not going to go there. I'm not so sure he wouldn't just retire, even though he'd be pissed.
Why is everyone all of a sudden jumping on this, you know, break the bank for Tom Brady thing when it's never been the case? There's no evidence to him being a break the bank type of player in terms of he's not demanding it.
Yeah.
He's never once demanded it. So why is he all of a sudden going to do it at 42, 43 years old? It goes against everything we've ever seen from him. So all of a sudden he's going to do, I want, you know, $40 million a year from the Chargers. Well, if I'm the Chargers, the answer is no, because now I can't put on a competitive team around you. I'm spending all my money on you. Look at all the highest played quarterbacks in the NFL. How many of them are winning Super Bowls every year? Not very many. You know why? Because you keep winning them, Tom, because you don't get paid so much and that the rest of the team can be built out appropriately.
Well, I'm not going to fault him for that. I mean, that's not Tom Brady's fault that he doesn't want to take as much and the team is good around him because of that.
No, it's kudos to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Because he makes the sacrifice to actually win the championships. Whereas Kirk Cousins, what situation are you guys going to be in? You're not going to be able to pay all your wide receivers. You're not going to be able to pay Dalvin Cook. You're not going to be able to pay everyone. And all of a sudden, that team's going to fall apart, like we see with every other organization. All of a sudden, you pay Russell Wilson, and then you have to restructure that whole team. You have to lose that entire defense and start to rebuild again.
Yeah, again, though, I just, even in that scenario where the Patriots looked at the number that Brady and Don Yee were asking for and just said to Brady, if Robert Kraft said to him, we can't get to that number, we're not going to do it, Tom, I'm sorry, I wish we could, we just can't do it, and let him walk, even in that scenario, I'm still not sure he'd play for another team.
No.
I think he would just retire.
I think so, too.
I know it would create animosity, it'd be a great talking point, and everybody would go wild. I just don't think, I don't know. I mean, maybe he'd be a little annoyed. He'd probably feel like he wasn't being appreciated enough and all that. And there might be a part of him that would like to stick it to a few people. But is it worth it? Is it worth changing that much of your routine and everything you knew in the Northeast here and everything, that the legacy and all the things that would be affected, just to stick it to some people for a couple games? I don't think he would do it. I don't think he would do it. I don't think he would do it. If that happened and he did do it, I wouldn't be shocked. You know what I mean? But I don't think he would do it. I think he would retire.
I think he would retire. I don't think he's going to play for anybody else. I really don't. There's been times when I've looked at him and been like, there's like a 15% chance. A 2% chance that he goes to play for somebody else. Something drastic needs to happen. I don't think, you know, McDaniel's getting a head coaching job where there's a quarterback vacancy. That's the only situation where I'm like, maybe. Maybe, because I've told you before, I feel like Bill and Tom would like to win without the other one. Not that they're actively trying to pursue that, but I think back in the back of both of their minds, they would both like to win a Super Bowl without the other one, so they can kind of separate their legacies just a little bit.
I absolutely think Bill Belichick feels those feelings more than Tom Brady does.
I agree. But I think they both have those.
Brady might have those too, but Bill Belichick, I think, feels them way more than Tom Brady
does. I think so too. I agree with you, because he is someone that legacy is very important to. And we've seen that time and time again in his career, and the things he's said and some of the things he's gone out to do, you know, in terms of getting records for certain guys. He likes that kind of stuff. So yep. He can win one without Tom. And I think that's why he wanted Jimmy. He wanted to win one with Jimmy.
Let's hold that thought, because I want to get back to that based on a comment that Bill Belichick made, I think, earlier in the week to OMF. We'll get back to that. Let's take this call quick from Mike in North Providence. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think just is not in part of this conversation are the downsides of Tom going to another team, to Tom, which are going to be a major, you know, he's going to be leaving the winningest organization in football, going to another team. You know what I'm saying? Which almost by definition would be a not as much of a chance to win.
Correct.
Right? And actually opening up the door to nightmare scenarios like he's never had to deal with in his whole career. Like, imagine, you know, having to go and face Belichick now in a big game, except he's old Tom Brady. He's the 43-year-old degraded version of himself with not a great as much of a great team around him, with a guy who knows him inside and out and who could burn him to the ground. Because now it's just remember in the Super Bowl when Tampa Bay played Oakland, and what did Tampa Bay have in going for them in that Super Bowl? They had Gruden, and Gruden knew those guys inside and out.
Yeah,
they didn't have a chance. And Tom, old Tom, with another team around him, who might not really be up to the caliber it needs to be, going against a guy who knows him inside and out, and who happens to be the greatest coach in NFL history. I mean, these are bad scenarios. The people aren't, and I think Tom must be aware of it. That he could end up looking really, really bad, especially if the Patriots are successful without him and he's still in the league.
Well, I agree. Thanks for the call, Mike. I don't think I'm not ready to talk about a Bill Belichick Tom Brady matchup quite yet.
No, thank you.
But yeah, I don't think I agree. There's a lot of negatives associated with Tom Brady going to another team for Tom Brady.
You know what head-to-head matchup I would look forward to?
What?
Head-to-head, one night only. You could say it would be a legendary night. Head-to-head, Lenny Clark versus Steve Sweeney. That's what I'd like to see.
What kind of matchup?
I'm thinking fight to the death. Or maybe if, you know, we don't want to go that far, just a steel cage match.
And it's a good time. You see, you got him to laugh, and we didn't even start the interview. Let's welcome in Lenny Clark, legendary Boston comic. He'll be performing Saturday, November 16th, a legendary night at the Greenwich Odeon, him and Steve Sweeney. Lenny, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Are you kidding me, Mark and Ben? Thanks so much for having me. And as far as the cage match, oh, my God, that's one thing I've never wanted to do.
I'm sure there was a time I saw when stand-up stood out. I'm sure there was a time in 1982 when you wanted to have a steel cage match with somebody.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And I think I even challenged a few people back then. But you got to understand, I was under the influence.
I understand.
Noted. All right, Lenny, real quick, we're going to get to the event, but I want to ask you a few things about the Boston sports scene right now. And if you want, if you could chime in on what we were just talking about, Tom Brady, the end of his career, leaving, staying, retiring, how do you see it playing out with the Patriots and Tom Brady? Could he ever go to another team, in your opinion?
Well, I hope not. You know, I love Tom. I really do. I just think, he's so Patriots. I mean, he's the face of the Patriots. Has been for so long. It would just kill me to see him go someplace else. But if it was something, you know, if it was a big payday to take care of his family, you know, who am I to judge? You know, I mean, I never wanted to leave. And I don't think anyone in New England wants him to leave. But you know, I don't know what's going on. That's why I'm friends with him, because I don't ask him about stuff like this.
Fair enough. That's why you're a good friend to him.
Yeah.
But I do have to ask you a question. As someone who has experience in Hollywood with movies and television, a couple of weeks ago, every dumbass on the radio, ourselves included, were talking about the Tom Brady situation from that Paul Rudd Netflix show, where all of a sudden he pops out and it looks like it's something, and he's saying it's not. What was your thought process? What was your reaction to that storyline going on? Because you actually have experience in movies and television where the rest of us have none, and we're basically talking out of our ass.
Well, you know what? You might not believe it. I didn't see it. I didn't see it, you know. Paul Rudd's Ant-Man, right? Is that who he is?
Yes, Paul Rudd is Ant-Man.
Yeah. So
I forgot about that.
I don't know anything about him other than him being Ant-Man. And the fact that he got to do anything, was Brady actually, that's something about Brady on the green screen? I did hear about it, but I didn't see it. Explain to me what was it about?
The show is supposedly, the setup is Paul Rudd's character is going over to this place. It's kind of a shady place. It's supposedly a cloning place, and they have a sign before Tom Brady exits that makes it look as if it's a sketchy massage parlor that you might find in Marlboro.
Called Happy Top Endings, I believe.
Called Happy Top Spa, I believe.
Top Happy Spa.
So it sounds like it might be a massage parlor with some...
And it's located in a strip mall.
And then he comes out with this smile on his face and talks to Paul Rudd's character for a second. That's it. And then we all made the conclusion, whoa, what's going on here? Why is he making fun of the Robert Kraft situation?
That's the
entirety of it.
Now, Kraft was acquitted, correct? Am I right?
Say that one more time.
Was Kraft acquitted of all those charges?
I think it's still ongoing, but I think he's for the most part in the clear of the serious charges.
All I can give you is my personal feelings on Robert Kraft, and that's this. This is a guy who bought the team. He was a fan, bought the team, brought us 6 Super Bowl championships, 10 division championships, turned that team around. We would have lost that team if he didn't step in. And, you know, was married to Myra for 49 years, never a hint of scandal, and now he goes into a massage parlor. If I were him, I would be having sex with people in the street. If they get upset, I go, here's some tickets. I'm sorry, I'm old.
Okay, so now we know what Lenny's looking forward to in the next couple of years, just having sex with random strangers in the street and giving away tickets to his shows.
Again,
that's not a bad idea.
That's a great idea.
A legendary night, Saturday, November 16th, Lenny Clark, Steve Sweeney. Lenny, a couple more things real quick. You said you were friends with Tom Brady. Can you tell us maybe a favorite memory you have with Tom Brady? I don't know if you've golfed with him, gone out, partied with him. What memories do you have of Tom Brady and your relationship that you can share?
Okay, it was, we were at Robert and Myra's, 45th wedding anniversary, and it was at Foxborough, Gillette, and we walked in, and they announced, you know, me and my wife, Mr. and Mrs. Lenny Clark. I'm going, oh my God, baby, look, we're up on the giant screen. She goes, act like you've been here before. I said, but I haven't. And the entire team was there, and we sat down, and me and my wife sat with Tom and Giselle and Teddy, Bruschi, and Heidi, and I think a couple other places I can't remember now. And I turned to Tom at one point, and I said, Tom, what was that commercial you did where you were getting out of a helicopter? I said, well, Lenny, I don't remember. I said, well, how many helicopter commercials did you do? He said, Smart Water, Glacier Water. I went, oh, yeah. Why, did you like that jacket? I loved it. And 2 weeks later, he sent me that raincoat to my house, and I wore it into Dennis Leary's office. Lenny, what a beautiful coat. Where'd you get that? I said, Tom Brady gave it. He goes, what? That's a Tom Ford. That's like $4,000 for that guy. And I never wear it in the rain. It's a raincoat, but I never wear it in the rain. And I had done a couple of favors for Tom's sister, and it just being a good guy, he gave me that coat. So that was one of my favorite times.
That's a great story.
Aside from having dinner with him and Giselle and my wife and watching Elton John as the entertainment.
Wow. Damn. That's a night. That is a night. Okay. Last question from me, Lenny. If you could go back as a Boston sports fan and relive any of the championship runs from the year, you know, since the year 2000, which one would you do? Which one would you relive based on your experiences and the rooting that you did for those teams and the games that were played? What was your favorite? Which would you relive?
Oh, the Super Bowl in New Orleans when we beat the Rams.
The first one.
Oh, God. Yeah, because I was there. I mean, and I couldn't believe it. And when the Patriots came running through the tunnel without announcing their name, and I was in a ramp section, I jumped, who are these guys? Who are you? And I was just torturing the whole game. And it was just so exciting to be there, to see it happen, and then to go to Mardi Gras right after.
And then that would trump even the 04 Red Sox, any of the other championships from any of the other teams.
Oh, believe me, I was there when the Red Sox won in St. Louis. And I was sitting behind the dugout. I mean, it was great. I had an incredible seat. A good friend of mine from Boston threw me in a private jet. It was just incredible to be there for that. And yes, I was there for that. The only thing I haven't seen at a World Championship is the Bruins. I've been to like Game 6, but I've never been to Game 7 where they actually won the Cup. I'd like to do that. I don't know if that's going to happen in my life.
You might have an opportunity this year.
Maybe. These guys are great.
They're looking pretty damn good so far.
All right, Lenny Clark, a legendary night, Saturday, November 16th. Lenny Clark, Steve Sweeney, a VIP experience at the Greenwich Odeon. You can get tickets there. It's going to be a great event. Lenny, thanks so much for joining us. You won't be getting any lavish gifts from us, unfortunately, a jacket, or we have nothing to offer, but we appreciate you taking a few minutes.
I got a couple extra slap bracelets for you if you want one.
Mark, Ben, thank you for having me on the show. You guys are doing a great job. And if you're around, come on down to the Odeon.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Lenny. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Great talking to that guy. Great story about Brady. It doesn't surprise me either, the story about Tom Brady giving the jacket. Just from him mentioning he liked the jacket, yeah. He gets it in the mail. Very Tom Brady story. All right, we're late. We got to get back here. And a few more things. I want to touch on the World Series when we get back just because there was something that was more shocking to me than one of the most shocking things I had seen prior to the World Series. I'll explain when we get back. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Better?
Yeah, better, I guess. Back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. Next caller will win a ticket. Pair of tickets, excuse me.
Just one ticket. You got to go by yourself.
We'll win a pair of tickets to a legendary night with Lenny Clark, who just joined us Saturday, November 16th at the Greenwich Odeon. It's a VIP experience. Next caller, 401-737-1287 is the phone number. You know, when you called our producer Devin, who's a hairy man,
yes.
A gorilla,
yeah.
Just now, I was reminded that Rage Against the Machine is reportedly set to reunite in 2020. Did you see that?
I did see that.
They had the album Gorilla Radio, spelt differently, but a different type of gorilla they were talking about, but still reminded me.
Because I called Devin a gorilla.
Correct.
I have the sweaters for kids ready.
Jeez. I just got to shave them.
Yeah.
It's like a 7-hour. Shearing Devin is like a 7-hour process. I could finish shearing 3 sheep in the same time it takes me to shear Devin.
Oh, man.
It's because it's all wiry, thick. He's on the phone.
A lot of Lenny Clark fans.
I understand why.
We're immediately getting a ton of phone calls.
Lenny's hilarious. I love Lenny. He's such a nice guy, too. Steve? I don't know. I never met him. But he's funny. You'll have a good time at this show. I promise. I've seen both of them live before. They're both very good. Very funny.
Devin. Hey, Devin. Type in if these people want to talk on the air, if they're just here to win the tickets. Okay, let us know. what I want... if they're calling to talk on the air, they just want the tickets. Real quick, what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask about Bill Belichick. She wants to talk in the air? Okay, let's talk to Kathy in North Kingstown. Talk to Kathy. Hey, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Congrats. You won the tickets to the Lenny Clark, a legendary night of VIP experience. How do you feel?
I'm very excited. I like Lenny a lot.
Yeah, he's really funny. Did you want to make a point about the Patriots or anything like that?
I just hope they go undefeated.
No,
I'm with you. We're both with you.
Yeah.
Mark's in that boat with you.
Yep, been in that boat for a long time since training camp. All right, well, thank you, Kathy, for calling in. Congratulations on the tickets. Enjoy the night. Just stay on the line. We'll get your information. And Lenny Clark, he'll be happy to see you down there.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you just got to put her on hold. Don't drop her.
Okay.
Hold.
There we go.
Okay. So
we're learning how to use phones.
Here's what I wanted to ask you. Well, I've never put anybody on hold. What I wanted to ask about Bill Belichick, okay? Because I think it was on OMF earlier in the week. He talked about, openly discussed, coaching beyond his 70th birthday, which goes against what he said back in 2009 in that a football life. I think it was a football life
documentary. Doesn't want to be Marv Levy.
Marv Levy. Well, he kind of walked Adam Schefter'd on those comments because he backtracked and he said, I'll paraphrase, but it was essentially, I didn't know what 70 would feel like.
Well, and you also have to understand that Marv Levy at 70 look like he's 112. He was a guy who looked like he was 70 years old since he was 38. So he always looked much older than he actually even was. So maybe that kind of went into Belichick's opinion. I'm not surprised he's changed course on that. And I'm not surprised that's the reaction, is basically saying, like, I guess I didn't realize how old this is and how good I'd actually feel. Because I don't feel like I'm 70, 69 years old, whatever. I feel pretty good. I feel like I'm still in my 50s or something. So it doesn't surprise
me. Good for him. And
plus, you know why. You know why.
Why?
He wants to win one ring without Brady.
I think, that means something to him.
Yes.
And it does factor in. And to Bill's credit, I don't know if he's thinking like this. I'm sure he knows about this and knows this. The culture that Tom Brady helped create there will take some time to erode. Less time if the next quarterback is akin to Tom Brady and is somewhat, I mean, nobody's going to be Tom Brady, but if he can be effective as a leader, as an example, then it would take less time to erode.
Yeah.
But we saw in 2008, beginning of the year, Tom Brady got hurt. And I've talked about that. I brought this up before. What is the worst Patriots team, the most infuriating Patriots team you can recall in the Belichick Brady era? One of the ones that's always atop the list.
2006?
2009.
Okay.
Because that team
had... Six drives me crazy.
Drives me crazy because they could have won if they just had Deion Branch resign.
Yep.
But nine, that team didn't get along. I mean, it's documented in that football life. He's talking about, we just can't... Remember at the end of that Saints game? We just can't get him to play the way they want. They had bad personalities. There was the incident, I think it was that year. Remember Adalys Thomas and they the snowstorm?
But I can't just get up and fly.
Like the Jetsons.
The Jetsons.
So... That team, in terms of culture, was one of the worst on record in the Brady Belichick era. And how long did it take for that team to appear? 1 year after Brady went down. And he was back. He was back. But the culture had eroded a little bit, and Brady was back, and he was trying to kind of get back into it. He sort of had to restart a little bit.
Yep.
So it took 1 year. So, and so Bill knows that he'll have a little bit of a, maybe at least a 1 year window where the culture is still good before it started to erode a little bit. So I think that does play into this. He does want to win. He's feeling good. He's maybe energized by the thought of trying to win with us. Because if he plays into his 70s, he'll outlast Tom Brady.
Coach into his 70s.
He coaches, thank you.
Yeah.
Into his 70s. He'll outlast Tom Brady.
Love to see him play into his 70s.
The good news. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
The good news.
What's the good news?
For Patriots fans, I think he would have been involved anyway.
Yeah.
But if he does that and he coaches into his 70s, he will be the one orchestrating the successor to Tom. He'll be fully involved in that process. He will be that process.
You bring up an interesting point there in terms of, like, you think he would be involved. Like, if he was done coaching, he'd be like a Parcells-type role, you think?
I think Robert Kraft would pay him $1 million a year to answer the phone.
Well, probably.
When they need something.
I'd pay him $1 million a year just to hear him answer the phone at my house. If I had $1 million, I'd pay it to him.
Yeah.
Say, can you just, every phone call I get, can you just answer it? It's the American Red Cross is going to call 10,000 times.
I know.
But do you think he'd be good at that? Because my worry with Belichick is I think he can identify good talent, but I think he also understands that that talent has to play within his system.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he can identify talent when. No, I know he can, but I don't know how well he can identify talent when he's not going to be the one coaching him. So I don't know if I want him in that role.
It's a good point.
And his draft record ain't great.
I don't know if he has a criteria like Bill Parcells does for quarterbacks. Like, what's Bill Parcells' criteria for quarterbacks? I don't know it exactly, but it's something like they have to have so many starts in college, 40 starts in college or whatever, then 30 starts. They have to be 6-3. I don't know what it is. I know the big thing for Parcells was the starts in college, which actually I agree with. I like a guy that has started a lot of games before he gets to the NFL. But maybe he has Bill Belichick's quarterback criteria, and they'll use that. I don't know. But wouldn't you rather have him a part of the process than not?
Yeah, you'd always rather. I'd rather have him a part of the process in terms of building out the coaching staff. Not necessarily the player personnel, but the coaching, and make sure if he brings in the successor as the head coach and he helps, you know, establish what that staff is going to look like and what that philosophy is going to be, sure. But if he's not coaching, I don't want him making personnel decisions. If he's not the one that's going to coach him up, I don't want him making those decisions. Because in the NFL, I really think that GM should also be your head coach in a lot of ways.
Okay. So you'd rather him not be a part of the process?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
I just don't have a lot of faith in that side of Bill Belichick.
I mean, but how about this? Okay.
Yeah.
He drafted Tom Brady. Forget that. Drafted Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
How's he doing in another system with another coach?
Yeah. How would a coach feel if your GM swooped in and traded away an asset for lesser in return? If you're the head coach and Belichick's the GM in that situation, and all of a sudden your backup quarterback got traded to a team for lesser than you could have got from some other team who's actually even worse, how happy are you in that situation? Because if you're also the head coach making that personnel decision, you can justify it. But if I have the head coach, I'm like, what are we doing here? Why are we giving this guy away? We could have gotten more from the Browns. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not exactly following you. I'm just saying... He drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, and now Garoppolo in another system with another coach is playing pretty well.
Sure.
So why couldn't he draft a quarterback for the future, have him be coached by somebody else ultimately, and him still do well? I mean, Brissett is doing well.
He could.
Jacoby Brissett is doing
well. I'm not knocking the drafting of Garoppolo. It was the right draft. What I'm knocking is if Belichick is just the personnel guy, the de facto GM, president, player, operator, whatever bullcrap title you want to give him.
GM.
And he is not the head coach, and he's making those. It's going to be a lot harder to justify those decisions when you're not also the guy that's the head coach.
I'm with you. So you think he'd be the GM? I don't think he'd be the GM. I just think he'd be a part of the quarterback decision.
I think he wants to coach that next quarterback. I really think he wants to coach him.
Yes, he does. He does. But he's not going to – if he gets another successful quarterback, okay, a 15-year guy, he's not going to coach him the entire time.
No, okay. So you're saying, like, he drafts him, he coaches him for three,
maybe
4 years.
Maybe he wins his title.
Maybe a little bit of success and then leaves and goes into the front – just exclusively into the quote-unquote front office.
Or just into the abyss and retires.
Well, I see that more as happening, just going into the abyss. See, I see this guy as being someone that's going to all of a sudden pop up at 75 years old at some random-ass high school coaching lacrosse because he wants to. That's what I see with Belichick.
Scenario.
That's what I think he's going to
imagine,
wind down his time with.
Mike Lynch doing a student athlete of the week high five with Bill Belichick, the head lacrosse coach. Tell me about Tim, the junior who's really good at midfielder.
Yeah, how's your Plymouth High team doing right now? He always talks about high school. We could have got kids from Foxborough High that could do that.
Yeah. Here's another thing to think about. I just mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
They arguably... Those two guys who are having some success without Bill Belichick and a difference, they're arguably playing for two of the best offensive minds in the NFL with Kyle Shanahan and Frank Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those two guys have had a lot of success. I'm starting to wonder whether or not the Eagles Super Bowl and all that success Nick Foles had was more because of Wright than Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
I'm wondering. Now, Foles was good last year when he went in, and then, you know, they had the interception that wasn't his fault in that Saints game. But
you bring up Jimmy G and Brissett. For every Jimmy G, there's been a mallet.
Yeah.
A complete disaster that you took higher than you probably should.
What was that guy's name? Kevin O'Connell or something like that?
Yeah, another bum.
Yeah.
So
and Matt Castle did really, I know he stayed in the league, but he didn't really do much anywhere else other than in New England.
He had a nice career from the sense that he played for a long time.
Yeah.
He stayed in the league and he could do some things. He wasn't a complete train wreck.
No.
But he was a serviceable player for a long time, which is fine. And that guy is completely the opposite of the Bill Parcells quarterback system. He didn't play a single game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's uneven success. And we don't know what Stidham is. We have no idea.
No. All right. We got to take a break. When we get back, I just want to touch on the World Series, and we'll wrap up the show. Predictions on the Patriots-Ravens Sunday night game. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, so the Washington Nationals won the World Series this week. I was stunned. Here's what I was going to say, and this is sort of what I alluded to, I think, before the break.
Yeah.
I think it is more shocking to me that the home team lost every game of the World, all seven games of the World Series, then had one of the teams, a la the Red Sox in 04, had come back from being down 3-0.
Yeah.
I think that's more shocking to me. That is insane. The home team didn't win a game. And we're talking about the Astros, who had, they were 5-1, I think, at home in the playoffs going into the World Series, and had a, whatever their win percentage was during the regular season, it was real good. They lost four games at home with that pitching staff. It's mind-boggling to me. And it's a shame for them, because had they won that series, and I'm glad the Nationals won. I was rooting
too.
For them.
Absolutely.
But had the Astros won, they would have joined the likes, not obviously as successful as the Patriots, but they would have been, you know, the Patriots of baseball, the Golden State Warriors of baseball. They would have sort of been in that conversation with the Warriors and the Patriots of baseball. There is no other baseball team that's in that conversation.
No, but there was that weird where the Giants kind of became the Spurs.
It's true.
You know, where
it's been a few years, though.
Yeah, it has been a few years, but they had a nice little run.
Three.
And they were doing it in a much shorter time period than what the Red Sox have done, since, including 04 and since 04.
But they never won back-to-back.
No. That's why I said the Spurs.
When was the last one? When was the last time they won? 2014?
Who?
The Giants.
14, I believe.
14. They beat the Royals.
I believe so.
Yep.
And then the Royals won in 15, and the Cubs won in 16.
Yep. That's it. So they won in 10, 12, and 14.
Yes. So there's been similar situations like that. We've seen some of these teams. At least when baseball, you can conceivably keep them all together. Unlike some of the, like basketball, it's very difficult to obviously keep them all together because you have a salary cap. In baseball, you just have a luxury tax that you can choose to go over or not. It'll be interesting. I'd like to see that team stay together because it's a good American League team.
Astros you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them together because I like the way they built that team.
They're probably
going to
lose
part.
Gerrit Cole.
Probably, because someone's going to pay him $1 billion.
Right. Probably goes to the Angels, Joe Madden.
That would be a good get for them because they could use someone to actually keep them relevant and actually win games.
Yeah.
I love Trout. He's a great player, but you know, I have a problem in baseball paying that guy that much money because they don't win. They've never won. The best player in baseball, the highest paid, hasn't won in a very long time.
You know what I just realized? I looked this up for some reason. Ken Griffey Jr. Actually, it was about the podcast, our Power Rank Kings podcast. We'll talk more about that, but I was looking up stuff for the podcast. He only played in 18 playoff games in his career. The last one with the Mariners, the last real series he played in was 1997.
Mm-hmm.
He played in one with the White Sox, but it wasn't really Griffey then.
I don't count.
1997? Trout is the same guy. He hasn't played in any big games. Has he even ever played in an LC? I don't even think he's played in the championship series.
Bonds got
to a World Series and was good.
But they kept choking in the early 90s with the Pirates.
Yeah, I don't remember. Did they ever go? They had that ridiculous team in 93 in San Francisco.
It didn't even make the playoffs.
No, they made the playoffs, didn't they?
No.
In 1993?
I think they had a 100-win team that did not make the playoffs because they were in the...
I got to look that up right now.
Double check that right now for me.
Yeah, I thought they made the playoffs.
No, because it was Phillies Braves.
They didn't make the playoffs?
I think they were like a 103-win team that didn't make the playoffs because there was only two divisions.
Okay, let's look.
Am I right?
Season standings. The Braves had 104 wins.
Yeah, so they didn't make the playoffs.
Okay. I'm going to just double check that. But no.
Just go to Baseball Reference.
Yeah.
Make it easier for yourself. What was your favorite part of the World Series? You're a huge baseball guy. I know you watch all these games. There's only one correct answer, by the way. And it's not Juan Soto.
The Whip 'em Out Wednesdays.
Yeah. We could say it on the show. The breasts.
Yeah. I thought that was... look.
The supple breasts.
Here's what I thought. That woman was she creating awareness for breast... it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. She
sure,
said
we'll
she was creating awareness for breast cancer and her business. And she successfully did all of the above.
And she successfully did more that she didn't even know was going to be an unintended consequence.
They didn't even make the playoffs.
I told you, dude.
I didn't realize that was still in play in 1993.
Yeah. That was a stud team, too. You had Bonds, you had Matt Williams, and I think you had Strawberry actually.
You got to explain this to me. Philadelphia. Why was Philadelphia in? Because the Braves are in the West.
Yeah.
What an asinine thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had no clue.
Yep.
That's
ridiculous, isn't
John Burkett had a great year for them that year. Like 20-something wins.
A 103-win team doesn't even make the playoffs.
Oh, my God. That is unreal. I'm embarrassed I didn't know that. So you went if you went in, you went straight to the LCS?
Yeah.
Huh.
Then 2 years later, after the strike, they bring in the wild card, I believe.
But this isn't even – there's no divisions here.
There's two divisions. Yeah, West and East.
That's pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely pathetic.
103 wins. You can't have that.
No.
That team was awesome.
How many did the Phillies win? The Phillies ended up going to the World Series and losing to the Blue Jays that year. How many did they win? Like 92 games? Scroll back up.
Where am I looking here?
Right there.
Oh, yeah. Where's the National League? Right here. Sorry. Yeah, 97 games. Still a good year.
Good team.
But you had the Expos win 94. They didn't get anywhere.
Now, the greatest shame for the Expos is 1994 when they were blowing everybody out. They had a huge lead in the National League. We're easily going to make the playoffs, and then the strike happens. And then they lose all their players. Larry Walker's gone. Andres Galarraga gone. Yep. Like, they lost half their team.
How many games did they cancel that year? Do you remember?
I want to say they canceled it in mid-August, so...
A month and a half, maybe.
30 games?
Ken Griffey Jr. had 40 home runs in 1994.
Well, Matt Williams was going crazy that year.
Yeah.
Matt Williams, I think, had 45.
That's a shame. Not just for the World Series, but to see what would have happened there in terms of the Maris record. I mean, 40 home runs with how many games to play? A month and a half to play. I mean, Sammy Sosa once upon a time hit 20 home runs in 1 month. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that would have happened, but...
May 98?
43 home runs 43. In 94 for Matt Williams.
Yeah. He was killing it that year. It's a weird lost year
in
for a lot of people.
In 112 games. 50 games they lost. Man.
Think about that.
Can you hit 19 home runs in 50 games?
Me? No.
No, but Matt Williams, could he have hit 19 home runs in 50 games?
Maybe, the way they were playing. They were good. Do we have a dumb question from our dumb producer?
Okay.
We do.
Let's do it.
It is time for the producer's question, so here is Devin Telgani. He has a question. It won't be about sports. Here it is for Mark and Ben.
All right, guys, so here's the question of the day. So do you guys think that it is right for parents to have no right to control the lives of their children above 16?
What? What do you mean? Say that again?
Okay, I like this because it's not sports-related and totally random.
Can you re-ask the question?
Ask it again.
So do you guys think that parents have no right to control the lives of their own children at the age of 16?
So I thought it was... 18 when they're technically an adult.
Isn't it 18?
18, 16.
Okay.
Well, 16 to 17, yes, I understand. You're still living at home. You're still going to high school, presumably. Yeah, whatever. But after 18, why? Why should they have any rights to you? Why do they have... You're your own independent individual. It's a cooperative. It's not a situation where... You have to do everything they say. No, you're cooperating in the world now. You're cohabitating the world together as adults. Treat them like an adult. I don't know. This is a weird way to... I don't know how to actually truly answer.
The answer to this question for me is, if I have a problem that you don't have control over your kid at 18, no. Because I think by that point, the work should be done. The hay should be in the barn. And the kid, hopefully... has a feel for the world and is able to operate and function, go to college, be a productive, upstanding citizen. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for by then. So I don't have a problem that you're... I mean, I'm hoping that I don't have to control... I hope by the time my kids are 18, they're ready to do some stuff, be productive citizens, have a feel, get a job, go to school. They do what they need to do.
I agree. I was always told by my dad, once you're 18, you're out of the house.
Yeah. Let me just say this.
Fantastic.
There was a girl that I used to work with in Georgia back when I worked there, and I just remember talking to her randomly. And she had a boyfriend at the time, and I just remember randomly asking her.
Is this a Jimmy G, Aaron Andrews situation?
No.
You weren't just going up to her, what's up, baby?
No. No, we just worked together, same age. And I just asked her, I was like, do your parents like your boyfriend? And she said to me, she goes, they trust my judgment.
Okay.
And I said right then and there, I was like, if I ever have a daughter, which I do now, I was like, that's the kind of daughter I need to have. Some girl that I trust their judgment. I think that's kind of how I operate with both my kids, boy and girl. Like, by the time they're 18, I hope I can trust their judgment.
Yeah.
Their judgments. That they know what the hell is right, what the heck is wrong. Don't F it up. Don't mess it up. Be a good representation of you, your family, all of those things. So, no, I don't have a problem with it at 18. I think that was a weird question. But it's a good thing that it was random and completely out there.
But I think too many parents look at their children as their property and not a actual human being sometimes. Almost look at their parent, like their kid, like it's a pet.
Sure.
In a weird way. I'll tell you what I told my parents after I was 18 and get into an argument with them. Just basically, you can support me or you don't. It's fine. Either way. Doesn't matter. But I'm going to make my decisions. You can't tell me which decisions I have to make. If you want to support it, support it. If you don't, don't. It's fine.
I just don't see how, I mean, if the term that we're not saying is coddling, I don't see how that helps somebody that's north of 18 years old. I mean, I'm telling you, you can help your kid. You can be there. You can offer them some help financially, whatever. But, you know, having to live off of your parents after you're 18 is tough.
And it also depends on what we're talking about with control. Like, you know, you're saying 18 or something, 18, 19, 20. Are you paying for college for them? How much are they contributing to their own college fund? Like, yeah, at that point, there's certain things you can say and be like, no, I don't want you to. No, you got to get a job and support this or else I'm not paying anything for your college. So there's context that's needed in a question like this.
All right. So we don't have a problem with it. So that's the show, Ravens and Patriots Sunday Night Football. I think the last time they played on Sunday Night Football in Baltimore was that game where the ball went over the upright.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And was that the Ravens that kicked it and that was the game winner? I think that's the Ravens that kicked that ball and Belichick grabbed the official at the end. Yeah. I think that was the last time they played Sunday Night Football in Baltimore.
What do you have for a prediction for this game?
Prediction. 27-13 Patriots. I think they win comfortably.
23-14. I don't know what that was in my ear.
Okay.
23-14 Patriots.
Yeah, I think they're going to win comfortably. I think they bottle up Lamar Jackson. The defense plays like the defense. And like I said, one of these games, the offense is going to burst.
Yep.
But I like the Patriots by a little bit here. I don't think it's that close of a game. I don't subscribe to the Max Kellerman thought that they're going to hold something back because they're going to meet again in the playoffs. I think they're going to try to win this game. They're going to go all out to win this game. They're not going to hold anything back. That's what I think. So I think the Patriots win. I think they move to 9-0, and they go into the bye week. Okay. I have a documentary on the Patriots coming out on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock.
Can't wait.
At Mark Dondero, Twitter, probably be on YouTube, somewhere where I can post the video. We'll see how it goes. So look for that. Other than that, we'll be back next week. Thanks, Dev. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7. Thanks to Lenny Clark, too. WEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.